Hey, what's up, guys? New Cyclone Fanatic podcast here on a late Wednesday morning. We are recording following Iowa State's overtime loss last night at Texas. Today's podcast brought to you by our new men's basketball sponsor at CycloneFanatic.com, Carl Chevrolet. Welcome, Carl Chevrolet, on board. Big-time partner. Now, your dealer for life. I can't wait. I'm going to try and get me a new Chevy truck coming up this summer. Right for fishing season, you know. I got to get the wife's approval, but it's going to happen. Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet, basketball sponsor now at CycloneFanatic.com. We're here at up in Ames at the Casa. See, I dropped a little Spanish for you and Rob. Of Jared Stansberry today, where we are licking our wounds after last night's. I don't even know if I won't call last night's loss heartbreaking. It wasn't really heartbreaking. I mean, they really didn't play that well.
Frustrating.
Frustrating. There you go. That's a good word.
That would definitely be the one that came to mind for me.
Yeah. First of all, I have a hard time. Like, I feel like Iowa State fans specifically, and the only reason I single Iowa State fans out, Jared, is because that's who we cover. Mm-hmm. That's who I talk with every day. But I feel like every time Iowa State loses, it's like, oh, well, they're not trying.
Right.
I guess I don't really.
I mean,
I think they really care. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a lot of that last night. They don't have any heart. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think there are three guys, and I'll single them out specifically. George Niang, Matt Thomas, and Monte Morris. I can tell you have an insane amount of heart.
Yeah.
Like, those guys, you know what you're going to get effort-wise each and every day from them. They're incredibly consistent. George is still playing at an All-American level, even though they're losing some games. And even defensively, like, George isn't great, but he knows what he's doing.
Right.
You know, he's not making dumb mental lapses out there on the defensive end.
Right.
Same goes with Monte and Matt for that case. I guess that's kind of where I wanted to start. I mean, I made a lot of calls today. I mean, inside the program, the guys are still engaged.
Yeah.
That was my biggest concern. How are they reacting to this? How are they? Are they still excited to go to practice? Are they still excited? Do they still believe that, they've got a good basketball team? And they do. So that, if you're looking for a reason today to not completely melt down, you've got three really good leaders, believe it or not. And I know everybody's like, oh, none of these guys are leaders. I think you got three leaders in Matt Thomas, George Niang, and Monte Morris out there right now.
Yeah.
That's encouraging to me. However, there's clearly a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the people that question effort and whether or not they care, I don't think that that's what's in question. I think what the issue is sometimes they're just boneheaded, you know. They just make mistakes where you think you know better than that. At this point, you should know better than to close out on a three-point shooter with your hands down, or to get back slow on a pick and roll off the pass or something.
Mechanics,
like that.
What you see.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fundamentals on defense are the things that, I mean, I tweeted some stuff this morning that I thought about, and a lot of it is, it's just fundamentals. It's just different things that come down to thinking, you know, just while you're playing, staying engaged in the game and not just kind of letting yourself get off into la la land.
Let's be honest. We're talking a lot about Jameel McKay right now.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how.
He just floats around a lot of the time.
And I don't like just like singling guys out. That's not what we do. And you win as a team, and they're losing as a team specifically. But I don't know how he was the defensive player of the year.
No.
In the Big 12 last year.
I would argue, though, that Monte also has his moments where he's
Monte
as well.
Has regressed defensively.
Yeah, right.
And it could be because he's playing a million minutes a game. But I agree with you.
It could be, but at the same time, I don't know how many of the three-pointers Texas hit last night were times when Monte was guarding the ball, but it was a lot.
Really?
Yeah. There was. I know the two late that they got back-to-back were right in Monte's face.
Mm-hmm.
and he didn't have a hand up at least right away either time against guys. I know Isaiah Taylor isn't much of a three-point shooter, but you at least have to respect it. And that is one of the things that I kind of notice. It's just getting a hand up, you know? That's how hard is that? And it's just making the conscious effort to, I have to get a hand up in the three-point shooter's face every single time. And that's not what you see from him.
Is that – I mean, how much of it is depth? Because I just have a hard time believing they can't win with seven because I've seen them do it before.
Well, there's been a lot of other teams that have won with seven players.
Yeah. You know? See, I've been getting a lot of that on Twitter today. Like, oh, you can't win in this league playing seven guys.
Right.
Well, I've seen Iowa State do it in the last 5 years.
How many players did some of those, like, Butler teams in the mid – in the early
2010s. What's Oklahoma playing with right now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's been a lot of college, really good college basketball teams that didn't play 10 guys. You don't have to platoon sub every single time.
The problem is I don't feel like either of those guys coming off the bench are really trustworthy.
No. You never know what you're going to get from them, and I think that's what – I think as much as anything, that's what it frustrates people about the depth, is that the depth isn't consistent. What they do have, guys coming off the bench – Hollis Cook could go for 10 points, or he could shoot 0 for 4 from the field and turn it over 3 times, you know? And it's just really frustrating to know when you've got a guy coming off the bench, you have no idea what he's going to do, whether or not it's going to be a positive or a negative contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And at least when you had Naz coming off of the bench 2 seasons ago, you knew every single time he was probably going to make a positive contribution, whether or not he was shooting the ball or if he was just defending and being an all-out hustle guy. You know,
and communicating.
Exactly.
Well, we heard that a lot. Miles Simon was at the commentator last night. I think it was Miles Simon.
Right.
Talk about how just silent it was on the defensive end for Iowa State. See, that's the difference in Naz Mitra-Long being out there and not. It's what we tried to tell people when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, where there's going to be a significant dent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Naz, you talk to anybody in that program, he's the heart and soul of it.
Right.
He may not lead him in the box score. But when heads start to hang, Naz is the guy who kicks him in the ass and says, all right, let's go. That's what he does. And they are really I truly believe, Jared, they would have one loss. Maybe two. Because Oklahoma's an elite team.
I believe that.
But if Naz is there, they've got one or two losses. But he's not, so now we've got to figure out how to right the ship without him. One guy everybody's like, oh, well, why play Simeon Carter? Simeon Carter's not ready defensively.
No.
I mean, you think it's bad now, you throw Simeon Carter out there, it's going to get worse. I would like to see him go a little bit deeper with Jordan Ashton.
Yeah, if they were going to play anybody, that's who I'd say they need to play.
Well, because my thing is, here's a guy who earned a scholarship as
a
walk-on.
Shoot, too.
Yeah, and if you want a guy who's just is not entitled. I'm not even saying any of these guys are, but the reason I'm saying this is I feel like if Jordan Ashton, what I know about him,
mm-hmm.
would freaking steal a quote from Hoiberg but run through a brick wall for you and play like his hair is on fire. And I don't know if you're getting that out of, frankly, Hollis or Deonte Burton
right
now off the bench. I mean, I feel like last night Hollis Cook was okay just because he didn't kill them. And that's not a good feeling to have about a guy.
Right. And
I don't want to pile on, but.
Right. And the thing about Ashton is I think that he's proven across multiple different levels of basketball at this point that he's a pretty damn good player. And he's got the ability to shoot the three shot over 40% at Kirkwood last year.
He's probably an equivalent three-point shooter to what you have in Hollis Cook, right?
Right. And I don't see equivalent or better, I mean, in my opinion. And I saw him shoot this summer at Cap City, and there are a lot of things that, you know, people say about basketball, but there's one thing that translates everywhere. If you can shoot, you can shoot, you know, and that kid can shoot. And I think that if you just got him into a situation where you said, you know what, go out on offense, space the floor, spot up, we don't really want you to dribble or anything, and then go on the other end and defend your ass off and do everything that you can to just hustle, what does it hurt at this point? You know, it's not like you're not hurting anything by telling a guy like that to just go out there and give everything you got, prove you belong here, prove you belong at this level.
Yeah, I think the – I wish that they would have – and this is those games like in the non-con, I wish Prohm would have gone deeper.
Yeah.
Just so you know, it's hard to just say, okay, at Jordan Ashton, go out to at Kansas State.
Right.
Get your feet wet.
Yeah, I mean, you would have liked to – I would have liked to see him play more rotation minutes against teams like Coppin State or Buffalo.
Another deal that's annoying me is people killing the current staff for the depth. It's not their fault, okay?
No.
Like, listen, I'm not a Steve Prohm apologist. I just want Iowa State to win.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, if you're going to blame anybody for depth, point a finger at Fred Hoiberg for waiting until June to take the Bulls' job.
Well, and it's
I'm not killing Fred either,
right.
But don't kill Steve Prohm because he doesn't have any quality depth in the Big 12.
I'm gonna be serious here. I mean, in the last few years, what the heck did Fred do for on the recruiting trail? Nothing.
I mean, they took some transfers.
Exactly. They didn't do anything.
They went to four straight NCAA tournaments and give me one quality freshman that Iowa State has right now.
No one.
Exactly.
And
they were taking transfers.
And it bugs the crap out of me. I mean, I'm sorry. I know I had a class with Stu. He's a heck of a guy. I really like him. But
oh, the walk-on.
But Stu. The walk-on deal with him being on – I feel like they could get a guy that could actually contribute to the team.
Talking about yourself?
No, I'm not saying me, but I'm saying a guy like Nicholas Bear, who was a first-team All-Stater at Bettendorf, averaged close to 20 points a game. Why not try and get a guy that was a first-team All-Stater in the state of Iowa, but's going to go play D2? Because nobody even looked at him at D1. Why not try and get a guy like that, say, come in, work hard, and I'm not going to promise you anything, but there might be something there for you.
Another Jordan Ashton, really.
Exactly.
I mean, he came in as a walk-on.
Mm-hmm.
They had no intentions on him.
Well, and the other thing for a kid like that is if you get him coming out of high school, if they come in and they work hard for a couple of years and they get a little bit better, but they don't really crack anything for your team, they can go play D2 still.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt anything for them. It doesn't hurt anything for you.
The Hoiberg era, you're exactly right, Jared. We're not criticizing it. It was the best era in Iowa State basketball history. Get that clear right now if you're listening. But we've talked about this multiple times. Fred left this thing really good for a year, but not for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever took this job was going to have a serious rebuilding project to do after year one. And I just want to clarify, like, I had a guy coming at me hard on Twitter last night, killing Prohm for not being able to develop Simeon Carter in a year. And, dude, he's had the job for 6 months. Big men are really hard to develop at this
level. Do you remember Andre Drummond?
Yes.
Do you remember when he went to UConn?
UConn, yeah.
Well, you know what? Now he's the best center in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
That's a really
garbage
good example.
At UConn. Garbage. Did nothing for a full season. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And went to the NBA, and he averages 15 and 15.
You are a big man. I mean, and for you guys listening, Jared's played the game at a high level. I watched Jared grow up, so I like talking basketball with you because you get it, and you are a big man.
Right.
It's hard to defensively to develop guys like you.
And I'm not going to say that I played in the Big 12 because
no, you didn't.
I played at the college level. I played in the Iowa Conference.
Yeah.
But you know
the game,
right? And I still played against some guys that. When I went to college, I was 6'7", I weighed 190 pounds. And I still was able to crack the varsity rotation that first season. And I learned rather quickly, you have to get bigger because there is no way you can handle the post at the college level at 190 pounds. And I don't know how much Simeon Carter weighs, but I would 100% guarantee it's not much more than that.
Well, you even saw...
But he's a little bit taller than I am, too.
What game did Simeon get some real time in? It was one of the like Coppin State or something like that, and he was lost defensively in that game.
Right.
So
you can't play that level.
I don't want to dwell on this because, frankly, I don't even think it's I don't think it's relevant. However, I keep getting the tweets and the questions from people about depth, and I'm sorry. You can.
Let's
Steve Prohm is not blameless.
Yeah.
He's not. I'm not defending him in the sense that they've lost three games. Like, very much could be him part. I am sure he is part of it. But don't kill him for the lack
for
of
that,
depth.
For that
yeah,
thing.
That is on the Hoiberg staff.
Yeah. Well, think what Cam Ridley would do to Simeon Carter.
Oh, God.
I was watching the game last night, and I was thinking about what Cam Ridley would do to JaVale McKay. He would have ate him alive all night long.
Mm-hmm.
He might have had 20 and 15. I mean, that would...
Probably would have.
He got buried continuously. in the post continuously, time after time after time. It makes no sense. But the guys that they had playing for Texas last night just weren't skilled enough to do anything about it.
So I guess the real conversation here, Jared, we need to go is looking forward as far as, you know, the fans are melting down. Frankly, I don't blame them.
Kind of seems like we're melting down.
Well, I mean, I think we're having a real conversation, and that's why people – I hope that's why you guys listen to us at Cyclone Fanatic. We don't want to just
– sugarcoat things.
Yeah, we're not just going to pump sunshine and tell you guys everything's great right now because it's not. However, I'll go back to how I kind of started this conversation. If you don't feel like jumping off the cliff today, you still got a Wooden Award candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You've still got a really good point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You've still got a big man who's proven at this level he can play. And you've got a guy in Matt Thomas who every time he goes out there is playing with more and more confidence each and every day.
Right.
The one guy we haven't touched on is Abdul Nader, which is a very – I mean, he's having a weird season. I mean, he had 16 rebounds last night. Almost half of Iowa State's rebounds go to Abdul Nader. However, he was 3-for-10 from the field. He only had one turnover last night, but I feel like a lot of times when Abdul gets the ball, it's an automatic turnover because there's five or six possessions a game where Abdul will just force it. It's just not there. He will Percy Gibson the hell out of it. That's a little bit before your time, but I don't know if you remember Percy or not.
Oh, of course I remember Percy.
But
he's the second leading scorer
for
Oakland now. Yeah.
How's Walker doing?
He averages like 8 or 9 points, I think.
But Nader's another one of those guys where I feel like defensively there's just times where he just looks lost.
Well, and I could be remembering this wrong, but I feel like people talked about him being the stopper coming into the season. He was going to be the guy on defense. I could be wrong.
No, I heard some of that, yeah.
I feel like someone had said about him being the one that was going to guard the team's best player every
time. He had such a good offseason.
Yeah.
And Prohm said that on Media Day.
Yeah.
His versatility was what you like. I mean, you can play him out front or
offensively. The thing I say about him is I kind of think the same about Jamel. And the thing is, I don't feel like Jamel was this way last year, but more this year. Those two guys, I feel like, need other people to create their offense for them more than them creating it for themselves. Abdul is a little bit better about it, but when you see Jamel get the ball on the post and start taking all those dribbles and pound, 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 throw up a hook shot and it gets blocked or he gets fouled or something along those lines, it just doesn't feel like it's the same.
Yeah.
And I told you guys that last night. It seemed like something was missing from where he was last year.
Are they using him differently?
I feel like they are getting him to more ISO situations
where he has to
create it for himself. But then when you see the moments when Monte drives in the lane, they kick it to him, dunk. Kick it to him in the dunker spot, dunk. And it's like he'll score 7 points in a row, but the 7 points in a row that he scored, he didn't do anything to create for it. It was all somebody else making it for him.
What do you think about this? You don't just bench Jameel McKay.
No.
However, I do believe there's – remember the small lineup at the end of that Illinois game?
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly you had Nash.
You play the Warriors style.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
I think
Burton? Yeah.
I think Burton would be more engaged.
Burton's your...
I'm just saying, Jameel's not helping you defensively. He had 3 rebounds last night, and he's literally not... the only offense he has is those lobs. I mean, the only thing he can do right now is dunk.
Right.
So...
Well, that's what I think is missing, like I said.
And I think he affects George, too,
right,
big time. Because George is not the mismatch he is. When George is playing the 5, he's a major mismatch.
Oh, my gosh.
When Jameel's out there, he's not that major mismatch when you put him up against a 4.
I was thinking about that this morning, but I didn't want to be the guy that came on here and be like, Jamel McKay is like the worst thing that could have happened for George Niang offensively. But to an extent, I think I 100% see where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, I think the way George has played has changed so much since when he was a sophomore when he didn't have Jamel. He was such a post-up player.
When he was a freshman and Fred Hoiberg rolled him out as basically a point guard at Allen Fieldhouse for his first start.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No.
That was before me.
But
that was the Ben McLemore bank shot.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I do remember that then.
But no, it's a very different look. Listen, you don't say, hey, screw you, Jameel McKay. Thanks for playing.
No, definitely not.
However, like, I do think going small is a – thing they really need to look at.
The only thing I would be concerned, and this is a concern for any team that tries to go small like that, and is Deontay Burton capable of guarding a center?
No.
You know?
No.
And that's,
he's not.
No. And but then at the same time, how many dominant centers is Iowa State going to see this season?
Ridley's out.
Probably not one. Maybe, I guess.
That kid from Oklahoma, gathers. I wouldn't call Latin, he's, or he's not dominant.
He's not a dominant, like, he's the kind of the same way as Jamel needs people to create it for him more than he's going to create it for himself. I don't think there is one.
No.
So you put yourself into a situation where Deontay could play your Draymond Green type role where he's kind of a hybrid type guy, and then you just hope that he can – I mean, Draymond Green's a really good defender, but you hope that he can do well enough on the centers. Or you put George down low when, like I tweeted earlier today and I told you guys last night, teams are isolating him on the wing mm-hmm. to drive by him continuously. And maybe if you get him on a post player, that opens it up to where you have one less defensive liability on the perimeter. And I don't know. You're giving me a blank stare.
No,
I don't
just,
know what you're thinking.
I'm thinking. I think we're on to something, frankly.
Me too.
I really do believe that.
Yeah. Because I think that you would maybe see a little bit more of that flow that everybody used
it's
to talk about.
Because
back
it's not
a little
there.
Bit. Right. And I think if you got the more perimeter players out there, you would see it a little bit more.
Remember last night when Fleming, the play-by-play guy, goes, I mean, I almost peed my pants. And that's when it hit me that, you know, everybody's talking about the defense, and the defense is bad. And there's no way around that. But offensively, too, like, I really – like, I know they're scoring a lot of points. Mm-hmm. I get it. They shot over 50%. Like, I'm not dogging them. Mm-hmm. But the flow isn't there. Fleming goes a rare transition basket for Iowa State. I mean, what the hell? That's what they've lived off of during the most successful run in Iowa State basketball history.
But when you can't defend and you can't force any turnovers –
Well, that's the thing. Like, how are you doing it in a transition when you're having an inbound it every time?
It's impossible.
You're in the half court.
And I think the thing that we've kind of lost here is that Texas shot out of their minds.
Yeah.
For a majority of the game, I mean, that team shot 3 of 21 against TCU on Saturday, and they came out and hit, what was it, like 8 of?
They had what, 11 threes in the first half?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they were insane. In the first half, it was
that last
world.
Like 10 minutes of basketball in the first half was something else.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we're talking about all these things that Iowa State did wrong, but at the same time, you have to remember Texas played one of their better games.
And you also have to remember, I mean, just for some perspective, the four losses are combined by like what, 4 points or 7 points?
Yeah, something like that. It's got, so 3.
Is that right?
No, it's more than that, because I can't remember what they lost to Baylor by.
Oh, they did lose to Baylor by more. I'm sorry.
They lost to Baylor by 5, so 8, 12.
There.
So still,
whatever. The point still stands.
Yeah, 3 Big 12 losses by 12 points, 4 losses by 14 points.
And the 3 losses, well, I don't know. I mean, Texas without Reddy Lee, you should win that game. You should beat Baylor at home. I'll give you Oklahoma. I am not ready to give up on this team.
There's a lot of teams that made it to the Final Four that did not have very good regular seasons.
That's
Kentucky
the,
2 seasons ago. Remember them?
It's the glory of college basketball,
yep.
Jared. I mean, I think
at
this point your goal is to make it be the opposite of last year.
At the end of the day, all that matters is that you get into that dance at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to win a national championship, at the end of the day, that is all that matters.
Another topic here. I don't want to go too long on this podcast. I'm not reporting this, but I'm giving you a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I have a good feeling that Monte Morris will be back next year.
That is the difference between Iowa State being what Jeff Goodman said, a bad team, and being a team that could seriously make a run at the NCAA tournament again.
I think he and Donovan Jackson would be a hell of a backcourt.
Yeah.
You combine that with Nazmi Trulong and Matt Thomas. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We still got a long season now. But our readers, you come to Cyclone Fanatic for diehard, in-depth stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Monte, Matt, Donovan, and Naz combo, that's a really good backcourt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a high-level top five in the country backcourt.
And then you think about Malou, all the other guys that they've added in the front court. Simeon Carter's going to be a year older. Brady Ernst is going to be a year older.
I was talking with Daniel Robinson about Simeon Carter before the Texas Tech game, and because he recruited Simeon, and I just was like, hey, how's he doing? And he's working his ass off.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging. I mean, the kid's trying really hard, and if that's the case, he's going to get better. You're going to see a completely different kid next year. I don't know what he's going to be able to contribute. I have no idea. But, you know, this is what if Larry Brown wanted him,
yeah,
it's good enough for me.
I would say Larry Brown knows a thing or two about the game of basketball.
Larry Brown wanted him. It's good enough for me. Now, the Monte thing, nothing's done, but it does sound like he
is leaning towards
coming. I don't even think it's leaning. I think he's anticipating.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think he would get drafted anyways.
I agree with that.
So, I mean, I think Monte's options are you come back to Iowa State for your senior year or you're going overseas.
Exactly.
Get ready to move to
Europe. And what point is that?
Because he can go to overseas the next year.
Exactly.
So, you may as well get your degree.
Why not come back and then you can go overseas next year.
Yeah.
But you also open the door to get drafted. Mm-hmm. If you prove yourself, why couldn't you be a lottery pick?
And you get
came back and work. Why couldn't you make that your goal? I'm going to be a lottery pick. And that's what I'm going to work to every single day. You know, and Monte Morris with a chip on his shoulder might be a pretty good Monte Morris.
If he hasn't had a chip, I don't know if he has or not, but he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Without it.
Right. Exactly.
So look forward to that. One other, just a quick hit. Really impressed with football. The new staff. I've been getting to know these guys a little bit more since they haven't been on the road as much. Really impressed with their behind the scenes, their access, their willingness to work with others, their overall energy. I don't know what it means, but the program feels like it's about 45 years younger.
Yeah,
that's all I've bitched about with the Rhodes. I loved Paul Rhodes. I was sad to see him go. I loved a lot of the guys on that staff. But the one thing I always had a problem with is it felt like we were stuck in like old man land.
Definitely.
And I don't know if they're gonna win games or not, but it's not that way anymore.
Right.
We're like bro you now.
There's one more thing that I'd really like to see them add. And I think that this would continue to take them even further away from what Rhodes was, and that would be a graphic designer and someone to handle like videos.
Well, okay, they do.
Do they?
Yeah. They got in that release last week. They have a media.
I didn't see that then.
His title isn't graphic designer. His title is like director of new media.
Okay. I was going to say because
they've got it, man.
You see so many places now.
Herman's got the guy at Houston who does that for Herman.
Yeah.
He does the graphics for us here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Oh, nice.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Drew, he's an Iowa State grad.
Oh, cool. But yeah,
Maddie Van Winkle's old roommate.
You see a lot of places like Nebraska and stuff like that where all these guys are sending out edits and stuff that they have of them in Iowa State or Nebraska uniforms and stuff. And I think it'd be really cool for Nebraska or Iowa State to have something like that.
Check.
Yeah.
That guy.
They're already ahead of me.
Yeah. These guys get it. I don't know. Like say, I mean, that doesn't in itself translate to wins. I was having a hard time explaining this to people. However, what it does is it builds a foundation that will hopefully get you wins in the future.
Right.
And
kids see that and they get excited because then you can go put that on your Twitter and all that stuff and all the Iowa State fans will come follow you.
Well, and it's the same deal as I've had conversations with people I know about just like our work here at Cyclone Fanatic, and they don't understand why we're trying to do so much social media. Well, what benefit does that have? Well, it doesn't necessarily give you monetary benefit, but what it does is, like, how many dudes, like, we need to be on Snapchat. Like, I know that Cyclone Fanatic needs to be on Snapchat. And even Instagram. We need to up our Instagram game. Does it financially do us any good? No. But what it does is, you all, dudes your age, that's what you're doing.
Right.
And if I can give you a reminder, hey, we're here, then you're probably going to come click on our website, which in return will give us money.
Right.
And that's where they're making the inroads there. You may not see the results next year.
Exactly.
But
at the end of the day, in a couple of years, Hopefully that's when you'll see it.
Yeah. Hopefully my hope for Iowa State football is that this is going to be crazy, that Matt Campbell replaces Urban Meyer at Ohio State.
Wow. There you go.
Because if that's the case,
then they did well.
Then they did very well here at Iowa State.
Does it have to be Urban Meyer? What if it's like Nick Saban at Alabama?
Well, he's an Ohio guy.
Oh, okay.
So to me, it's the natural. Okay. Like Herb retires in 5 years.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this guy.
Or he takes over like the Pittsburgh Steelers or something like
that. Yeah, well, that'd be fine too. but they're like, man, this guy's been killing it at Iowa State.
Yeah.
And they offer him like contracts will be like $15 million a year. Matt gets rich. And Iowa State, man, you just got poached. But
this is,
you know what?
This is after our multiple Big 12 championships. You've so
to,
it'll be okay.
Gotten to 4 bowl games in 5 years. Because you got to, I mean, realistically, they're not going to go to 5-5. Let's be honest. That's my
goal. Had that 1 year when they went 5-7.
Yeah.
Just missed out because of APR.
Rhodes almost went to 4-4. If it weren't for that Nebraska game in 2010, I'm sure you were in the stadium wearing your little big red.
No, I wasn't there. I was watching, though. God, I nearly had a heart attack.
That was the fake extra point.
That was one of the better Nebraska teams of my my adolescence too. Yeah. The Taylor Martinez freshman season.
Do you remember, were you even alive during the Tommy Frazier era?
Well, I was. I would have just been born during his junior season, and I would have been one during his sophomore.
He was, and I didn't even like
or
Nebraska
senior season, rather.
But he was, my favorite college football player ever.
He's the dude.
I freaking loved that guy.
I can't say he's quite the dude as a coach. His coaching success is minimal.
Yeah.
But,
do you have any contacts to him?
To Tommy Frazier?
Yeah.
No.
Because I've tried like hell to get him on my radio show.
Talk to someone like Sean Callahan.
Okay.
He'd probably figure something. He could.
Well, because Tommy has that website,
like
touchdowntommy.com.
Yeah.
And I've emailed, the links and stuff on there, and it always bounces back. It's not, an active email address.
His Twitter is outstanding. I will say that.
I like it. No, I follow him,
too.
He
says some pretty crazy stuff on
Twitter
sometimes.
I want to get him on, I want to get him over to Des Moines and do, a whole show with him sometime.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
I think a lot of our listeners, even Iowa and Iowa State fans would appreciate that.
Well, definitely. And, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a College Football Hall of Famer. How mad can you be about hearing from that guy?
Oh.
My roommate just walked in. He just walked through, so.
That's all good. I like broadcasting here from Jared's apartment. It makes me feel young again.
It's a pretty homey place.
I wish it wasn't noon on a Wednesday and we crack open a few cold beers and hang out later, but I gotta work.
Yeah.
And you're gonna work on what are you gonna do? You're working on a cool column with vines and stuff?
Yeah, I'm gonna rewatch the game and I'm gonna pick out some different defensive stuff that I'm going to write about.
Okay.
Probably do a pick and roll. All the things that I tweeted about this morning. Go look at my Twitter. I had 5 different points that I made on Twitter that are breaking it down.
All right. Sounds good. Is Tyler going to crack open a beer? No? Okay. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Live from Jared's apartment. We will be back the Cyclone Fanatic radio show tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Come hang out at Benchwarmers. That'll be on 1460 KXNO. Have a good one.